We're starting a new series for the radio broadcast, for the USB Bible studies that will be taught in churches around the world. As you know, many of the churches that have only a pastor once a month, and they're able to set up the small laptop with a hearing system, a listening system, and so train someone to run it. And then on the Sundays that the pastor's not there, then I have the wonderful privilege to teach the Word of God to these precious believers in churches all over the world. And so we praise the Lord for that. Well, the Bible's very clear, and we're talking about that trouble is here and more is coming. This is David Bowler. I'm your Bible study teacher for this series, and I hope you'll have your Bible handy and we'll follow along in the study. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, then we'll go right to work. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the honor and the privilege you've given us to teach the Word of God, to share that people's faith may be built, that people may be born again, and may have the courage to stand up in these last days, to stand up for you. For us in your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, trouble's here. We see it all around us in our country. More's coming. We're living in the last days. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know, and I've said it before, if God said know this or this know, be sure that you do. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times, difficult times. For men should be lovers of their own selves. It's all about me. I'm number one. Covetous, just living for things. Boasters, you've never seen so much people bragging on themselves. Proud, full of pride. Blasphemers, mock the things of God. You see it on television. You see it in government. You see it everywhere, mocking the name of Jesus and God and the Bible and what the Bible teaches. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, no gratitude to God, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affections, who would have ever thought that mothers could just murder their babies? That people would go to election and vote on whether they have the right to kill their babies? Without natural affection, truce breakers, you can't count on people's words. False accusers, liars, incontinent means no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They hate the righteous and the people of God, traitors, heady, that means strong-headed, bull-headed, self-willed, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They've got some religion, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, let me give you another passage that I want you to look at over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. But there were false prophets also among the people. There are today. There are men standing in pulpits today that deny Jesus Christ, deny the Bible, are pro-homosexual, claiming to be ministers of the gospel. They are not. They are ministers of Satan. Listen, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately or secretly bring in damnable heresies. They deny the things of God, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The Savior that came into the world to save the lost, that paid the price for man. Here's the sad part. Listen to verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious, their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, remember the Bible is the truth, Jesus is the truth, shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, fake words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. God said, judgment is coming. Now I'm going to give you one more passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and listen at verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, those born-again people, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that's the next event, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Satan's always had people to attack the Bible, attack the truth. He even wrote a letter and said it was from Paul with false doctrine, and it was not. Verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So this trouble is all around us today. John 16:33, it says, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. Don't be defeated. You be courageous. You stand up. You have courage. I have overcome the world. That's the world system of old Satan. Now, we're seeing it more clearly in our nation, in America, right now than ever before. If you teach that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and he is, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. If you stand for the sanctity of life, the life of a baby to live, when that little heart's beating and God has a purpose and a plan for that child. If you hold the truth that God made male and female and marriage only between a man and a woman, and you say, that's what God said, that's the truth. I had a man I was witness to the other day, and he said, Brother Bowler, do you believe that women ought to be pastors in the church? My church does. I said, no, I don't. I mean, I believe what the Bible says, and God said the woman's not to have authority over a man, and she's not to teach him. She's not to take the word of God and teach him. Well, a lot of people don't like that. Oh, they'll start calling you all kind of names, and you're a bigot and all of these things. If you support and stand with God's nation on Israel, that they are God's special people, if you stand for religious liberty, you'll be persecuted. Satan's goal is very clear. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the Bible. He wants to keep us from sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, according to Pew Research Center, Americans are praying less than ever before in the history of our country. They're reading the Bible less. They're speaking up as Christians less than any other time in the history of our country. If we stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit and God's word, we're going to win. Jesus has already overcome the world. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:17-18. Now, the foundation of Christian doctrine is that Jesus Christ is the only means to salvation. The only means. And it sets Christianity apart from every other religion. We go against the grain of all of our culture and all those that do not believe in the Bible or Christ. And I want to tell you something. Any religion that is not Christianity is instigated by Satan. He's the initiator of all these false religions. If you believe what we've talked about, you're accused of intolerance, prejudice, hatred. You're a bigot. That's what they do. And they think if they say that loud enough, more people that don't have a heart for God will believe and will stand against Christianity. Let me give you four statements of the exclusivity of Christ. Number one, Jesus is unique. Now, all historians agree that Jesus was a historical person. Man, they come to that point. Yes, he was alive. We've seen his name in history and the events. Many believe that Jesus was good, moral, a teacher, but not God. Not the only begotten Son of God. Not the one to come and die and pour out his blood that your sins might be washed away. Now, the problem is Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and the Bible do not accept that option. You listening? Unlike other major religions, Jesus Christ claims to be God, the only God. Luke 10:10, he said, I and my Father are one. Remember what he told Philip in John 14:8-9? He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Because he wanted to say, show us the Father. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Over in Luke chapter 14, verses 61 through 62, he was asked, listen, but he held his peace and answered nothing. This is before Pilate. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, listen, verse 62, I am. The Bible, Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, the right hand of the Father, and coming in the clouds of heaven. He's going to return again. He claimed to be able to forgive sin. Now, that really upset the Pharisees. They said, who can forgive sin but God alone? Who else? Who can do this but God himself? Well, they knew that it was God. Over in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, listen. Let me read verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. This man, they lowered him down in. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, your sins be forgiven you. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Listen now. Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or, listen, to say, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk? Jesus said, I'm going to give you a demonstration of my power. Not only can I forgive sin, but I can heal this man of this palsy. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went forth. So see, all around them, they're confronted with the truth that Jesus is God. He claimed to be able to conquer death. 3 days later, he was resurrected and walked out of the tomb. He alone claimed this truth that he would return to judge the world, Matthew 25:31-46. So Jesus Christ alone is unique. He alone is the only begotten Son of God. Now, number two, Jesus teaches he is exclusive. He taught that there were only two destinations for people, heaven or hell. That's all. No more. That you either going to, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're not saved, you're going to perish. And you're going to go to hell for all the eons of time. No discussion. Third thing, Jesus is the only way to heaven. We've talked about that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That means even the most sincere followers of other religions, listen to me, must trust in Jesus for salvation. And you said, oh, Brother Bowler, that's tough. That's straight. My friend, we're talking about heaven or hell. We're talking, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus teaches he is exclusive. He's the only way. Fourth thing, Jesus offers the only real solution to humanity's greatest need. See, Satan will give a kernel of truth to these false religions, Buddhism, Hinduisms. He tells them meditation. If you will meditate, you can meditate and purify yourself prepare yourself for heaven. Not true. You must be born again. Islam, even Judaism, there was keep a set of laws. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And the New Testament teaches us that we're not saved by law, we're saved by grace. Now, Romans 3:23, God said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, God's standard is absolute perfection. But no one can accomplish this. None of us are perfect. None of us can be perfect. So God sent the only solution, his holy, perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and live a sinless, perfect life so he could die in our place, a holy substitute, that he could pay our sin debt. He owed no debt. So he died in my place and paid my debt to forgive, to justify, and to give us eternal life in him. And friends, listen, there is no other way. Well, how do we help people understand this, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? This man I was talking to about several things about his church and about what they believed and what their pastor taught. And I told him, your argument's not with me. I don't want to argue with you. Your argument is with the Bible, the Word of God. And that's the key, that you've got to look into the Scripture, the Word of God. When Jesus made the statement, I am the way. I'm the way to heaven. There is no other way. I am the truth. He doesn't say a truth. I am the life. He was the way to heaven. He is truth, and he is life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then he tells us over in Romans, as you study the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, that listen to this passage. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I'm going to begin at verse 8 so we get it in context, all of it. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul had been preaching to the Romans. He said, the word of God's right there in front of you. I have people come and sit and hear me preach, and some are they rejoicing in the truth that they have accepted and know. Others are listening, and others are just kind of getting angry about it. Listen what he says, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you believe he is God's Son, he is holy, he's the sacrifice, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him up from the dead, you shall be saved. It works. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession that you admit it is made unto salvation. Now, God wants to save, so the argument's with the Bible, but God wants to save as many people as he possibly can. Amen? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord talks to us again as we see this passage of Scripture, that he doesn't want just a few people saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants all of us to be washed in the blood, all of us to be born again. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 3 through 5. For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's God's desire. These people of predestination said God's predetermined some people to just go to hell. No, God wants everybody to be saved. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God. You listening? Do you believe the Bible? You got to throw the Bible out. You got to throw Jesus out. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is it? The man, Jesus Christ. That's pretty clear, isn't it? As God gives us this truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Listen, let me read you this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I just think of how long Jesus pursued me, loved me, convicted me. I've been a Christian now almost 60 years, and God's been so good to teach me and love me and let me preach all this length of time. So if you're going to argue arguments with the Bible, not us, that you need to go and you need to read the Bible. And many, many, many men have tried and had a plan. They were going to disprove the Bible. They read the Bible, and the Bible made Christians of them. And God wants to save as many as he can, not just a few. He's not shutting people out. He's trying to get them in, but it's only through Jesus. The third thing, that God has provided one way of salvation, demonstrates his love, not his hatred. Now, if you were in a plane crash, the crash hits the ground and there's smoke all through the plane and it hadn't caught fire yet, and they throw the emergency door open, the flight attendant is calling, has a flashlight saying, come this way, come this way to safety. Would you call her intolerant that there's only one way to get out of that plane before it catches on fire? That's what Jesus is doing. Come to me, whosoever will may come. And then the fourth thing, consider the cost. God says his only begotten son will die in your place. Remember that old hymn, Jesus paid it all. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. Now listen, why is this book so important, 1 John? See, the Greco-Roman world at the close of the first century, at the period of time when this book was written, was in a state of cultural, philosophical, and religious ferment, kind of like today. It was a melting pot of ideas, philosophies, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and all of their foolish philosophies, and they were. I've got a PhD in philosophy, and I've studied all of this, and they knew nothing about eternity. They didn't know anything about truth. The different religions, those days there was temples to Athena, Zeus, Bacchus, Apollo, Artemis. Even Caesar had a god cult where they built temples to him. It was a time of total, listen to me, inclusion, like right now. Everybody's accepted as long as you just don't try to be exclusive. If you say, well, everybody can go your way, if we as Christians said, well, you don't have to do this, you can do your own thing and go your own way, then they would tolerate us. It says we're supposed to tolerate it all, but Jesus says you're not. You're to tell the loving truth. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, if you don't teach it and preach it with a passion. Now, into this environment came the Church of Jesus Christ, totally exclusive. Only Christ is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus is the Savior. There is no other way outside of him. Hatred, persecution, instigated by Satan. A group came along to try and talk the new church to coexist, called Gnosticism. The Greek word means knowledge, that they had more knowledge. They understood deeper and better, that the Christians were just ignorant and didn't know and understand all these things. Now, what was their knowledge? That they said all matter was evil. All created matter was evil. The spirit only was pure. They said sin in the physical body was not sin. Only when you sinned against your spirit did it matter. You could have immoral sex, you could have drunkenness, you could have greed, all these other physical things of the body, and it made no difference as long as you didn't offend your spirit. They said Jesus, therefore, did not have a physical body. If Jesus was Christ and of God, he couldn't have had a physical body because matter was evil. No incarnation, no atonement, no resurrection. Only a spirit. And they said the Spirit of Jesus descended on a man named Jesus and left before the crucifixion. Now, John was the last living apostle, an old man, bless his heart, in his 80s, kind of like me. He's the bishop of the churches in the province of Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit of God moves him to write this epistle, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles of John, that we're to contend for the faith. Well, our time's almost up, so I'm going to stop here, and we'll pick up again and get right into the wonderful, wonderful Word of Almighty God. If you don't know Christ, friend, get your Bible out, would you? Begin to read the Gospel of John. This is the first book where he really, really talks about Jesus as God, and there from the beginning, and came and gave his life that you and I might be saved and trust him by faith. If you are a Christian, friends, you need to get in the Word of God and lovingly stand up without apology. If you don't stand up, if you don't speak up, if we don't say the truth enough, the devil's lie is going to be believed. We're going to be persecuted for it. You're going to pay a price for it. But you got to love Jesus and his truth enough to stand for it. Amen? So the Holy Spirit moves him to write the epistle to confront Gnosticism. A word from God in this day of inclusiveness, secularism, postmodernism, relativism, New Age cults, militant world cults. It's the test of reality. One of the greatest books for where we are in history right now. And so let me encourage you to stay tuned with us each day. The next broadcast is going to be called, the title is The Real Thing, the first four verses, if we can get that far. Well, until the next broadcast or the next Bible study, this is David Bowler. It's my prayer that you'll trust the Lord by faith. It's my prayer you'll rest in him and stand for him and give glory to his name. Till the next broadcast, may the Lord richly bless you.